Hi, this is Pastor Jim Martin. I want to apologize for the buzz that you'll be hearing in the background as you listen to this recording. We were having some technical problems during the service, and it impacted the recording of this sermon. So I apologize for this, and I thank you for your understanding. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 17. Jesus, Peter, James, and John have been at the Mount of Transfiguration. They come back down, and there's a group of people around with the other disciples and so forth. Now this story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and what I've done is I've taken the story from Matthew and the story from Mark, and I've combined it, and I'm going to read it to you as it's combined. Now you stay here in Matthew, but for reference, this comes from Matthew 17, where we've all turned, and then also Mark chapter 9. And beginning in Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, which hath a dumb spirit. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And in Matthew 17 it says that they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Now stop right there for a moment. We're familiar with this story, and if we just sit and think about it, we can meditate on what happened, and our sympathies will go out to that father. About 2.5 weeks ago, I got an email from a church. The pastor's a good friend of mine. There was a husband and wife. They'd been believing God to have a baby, and she was pregnant. She went into labor early. At right around 6 months, she gave birth. Well, it wasn't just that she gave birth to a baby, she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. Now, giving birth at 6 months to a baby is a challenge enough. But when you give birth to twins prematurely, it's complicated even more. And so they sent the email and said, you know, please pray, for the babies. They're there at the hospital and so on and so forth, and describe some of the complications. Well, about 3 days ago, I got an email that the little boy had passed away, and the little girl is still alive. Well, all these people had been praying, and the mother and father, they're born again, spirit-filled. What do you tell people like that? How do you respond? When you're praying and you're believing, and the baby dies, oh, sure, they're glad they still have the little girl, but you know that can't change the fact that one of their babies has died. So when people start asking the questions, why did this happen? What went wrong? I thought people were praying. I don't understand this. What do you say? Do you put your arm around them and say everything's going to be okay? What does that mean to them? They know that that baby is in heaven, so they're not worried about that. But when these people, the mom and the dad, or other family members, or friends begin asking, you know, what happened? Everybody was praying. Why didn't that little baby boy get healed? Why did he die? And let's just go directly to it. The big question. Why did God let it happen? Why didn't God do anything? Why didn't God heal that baby? Then you're going to have folks out there talking about, well, God took him home. Well, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? So what kind of answers do you give people? What would you say? Would you, you know, just use the catchphrase, well, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called? I mean, what would you say? Would you say something like, well, I don't know? Would you say, well, sometimes we just don't understand why things happen? Is that what you would tell them? If that mother and that father called you today, what would you say? If they're asking, why did the baby die, what kind of explanation would you give? Why didn't God heal? Why didn't this? Why didn't that? All these prayers. Why didn't the prayers work? And so on and so forth. It's a tough thing, isn't it? Let's look at our story again here in Matthew 17. If you look in verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Because, see, in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil departed, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples come and they say, why couldn't we do it? Why would you ask that question if you didn't expect to be able to do it? Because if you didn't expect it to happen, you wouldn't ask, why didn't it happen? That's why a lot of Christians, they pray, well, Father, if it be thy will, then somebody ends up dying, they just say, well, it was the Father's will. And they never ask the question, why didn't they get healed when I prayed? They never ask that because they don't believe it's going to happen to begin with. But here, these guys believe something was supposed to have taken place. And so they're asking, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we get this kid healed? And look what Jesus says. Verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Unbelief's not a cuss word, you can say it. Because of your unbelief. Do you think this hit those guys right? I mean, smack dab between the eyes. Because they expected to do what they did and get a result, get that devil cast out and that child healed, that son healed. They expected that. And the reason they expected that, now hear me, was because they felt like they had all the faith necessary for that kid to be delivered, for that kid to be healed, for that kid to be restored. They believed they had all the faith necessary for this. So when they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we don't understand. I mean, it worked for you. Why didn't it work for us? Why couldn't we get this thing done? And Jesus looks right at them and he says, because of your unbelief. Do you think any of them hearing that, their immediate response on the inside would have been something like, what unbelief? What lack of faith? What are you talking about, Jesus? Because see, earlier they had been sent out two by two, and people had been healed, and devils had been cast out. Things had happened. So they had had results in the past, but now at this point in time, it doesn't happen. And so Jesus, he looks at them and he says, you want to know why you couldn't get it done? It's because of your unbelief. And I'm sure in their minds they're thinking, how can you say that? I mean, I do have faith. We have faith. Well, if you had the faith necessary to accomplish this, it would have been done. Very simple. Now, this little boy, this little baby, has passed away this past week. What do we tell the parents? What do we tell the pastor of that church? What do we tell the other people in the church? What do we tell the other family members? Because these guys went to Jesus and they said, why couldn't we get it done? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And look what he says. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. See that? Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Please let that sink in. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now he's speaking relative to the things of God. He said, nothing shall be impossible to you. What he's saying is, if you guys had had the faith that you needed to deal with this thing, it would have been dealt with. It wouldn't have been impossible for you. Another thing he's saying is, at your present level of faith, this will remain impossible the rest of your lives. Then he explains to them what they need to do relative to faith. Howbeit, verse 21, this kind of unbelief goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind of unbelief. You say, well, the word unbelief isn't in there. No, but it's implied because the question was, why couldn't we do it? And his answer was, because of your unbelief. And he's addressing the unbelief. He's not addressing the devil. He's addressing the unbelief, because if you deal with the unbelief, you're going to be able to deal with the devil and the sickness and the affliction. So now, we're in a tough situation because, let's be honest here. When the friends and the family members ask, when we prayed, why didn't the baby get healed? Pastor, when you prayed, why didn't the baby get healed? I prayed. I received the email. I prayed. So why didn't the baby get healed when I prayed? Well, that's easy, Brother Martin. You're here in Ohio, and they're way off, you know, hundreds of miles away in another state. No. That is a cop-out answer. Because more than once, people got healed when Jesus spoke the word, and they were not in His presence. So therefore, I'm in this too. So if I go to Jesus, and I say, Jesus, I don't want to talk about anybody else. I don't want to talk about the parents. I don't want to talk about the friends and the family. I don't want to talk about the pastor of that church down there. I don't want to talk about their deacons, ushers, elders, or anybody else. I want to talk about me. Why did that baby not get healed when I prayed? Now, what do you think Jesus is going to tell me? It wasn't your responsibility? Well, you're just assuming too much responsibility for yourself. It wasn't God's will. See, the one thing you can't do is lay the blame on this newborn and say the newborn didn't have any faith. You're right. The newborn didn't have any faith. And the newborn didn't have any unbelief either. So if I go to Jesus and I ask this, which I haven't gone to Jesus and asked because I already know the answer. And I'll be honest with you, I expected that baby to be healed. When I got the email that the baby had passed away, it hit me between the eyes. So I began to pray for the parents and the family and friends and so forth. If you have this kind of faith that you need, nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay, let's think about this for a moment. We don't want to ever talk about what we don't have when it comes to the things of God. What I mean is this. All of us believe that we have whatever faith is necessary to get through in life. And the reason we believe that is because that's what we think. It's because we wake up every morning, we go to bed every night. I have all the faith I need to get through in life. How do you know that? How do you know that? Is there anything in your life right now that you know it lines up with God's Word and God's will for your life, and you've been believing for it to manifest for the last 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, and it hasn't come? Is it possible that you don't have the faith you think? Now, I'm out there with you, okay? I'm include me in all this. Is it possible that we don't have the faith we think we have? Just because we wake up, live, you know, go to work and eat and whatever we do, everybody does that. So if we're not getting the kind of results that we think we ought to be getting, what do we do? Typically what we do is we say sometimes, well, it's not God's timing. All right, well then when is it God's timing for healing? You with me? So is it possible that we aren't as far along as what we think? The thing is, we don't want to talk about that. Because we want to believe that we are where we need to be when it comes to serving God, this whole thing, you know, of faith. Look in Mark chapter 9. You leave your finger here in Matthew 17. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. But I want you to see some things here. Mark chapter 9. It's the same story we just read. But I want you to see this in Scripture. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now there's nothing confusing about that verse. All things are possible to him that believeth. It's right there. Now look back over in Matthew 17. In verse 19, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence from to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So he's told the dad, all things are possible to him that believes, and he's telling the disciples basically the same thing. Now think with me here for a minute. You know, that guy brings his son to Jesus. The man says to Jesus, if you can do anything, you know, help us. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And that man looks at Jesus and he says, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. And at that moment, I'm sure some of those disciples were possibly thinking, glad I'm not him, because I don't have unbelief. That's not me. I mean, you know, I haven't been able to get it out yet, but just give me another 10 minutes, all right? Haven't been able to get that kid healed yet. Give me 5 more minutes. But I'm just glad I'm not like him. But I still wonder how come it is I couldn't get that kid healed. Wonder why that might be. And so when they get alone with Jesus and they ask Jesus, why couldn't we get the results? Jesus looks at them and says, because of your unbelief. Now what Jesus is doing is putting them in the same category with that man, that dad. You talk about a come down. Because of your unbelief. And at least that guy had the guts to admit it. And you don't. Because if you really understood yourself, you wouldn't be asking this question. You'd be like that man. Jesus, help us with our unbelief, because it's our lack of faith that led us to the place of not being able to get these results. But see, they thought they were further along. Why did they think they were further along? Well, one reason was because of things they'd done before, but another reason is because they're buddies with Jesus. This man's not. We are. Us today, why do we think that we have all the faith that's necessary to get everything done that needs to be done, no matter what it is? It's because why we go to a Spirit-filled church. Why we believe in these things. We're close to Jesus. Let's think. Look over Mark 11. Let's see some more things about this whole issue of faith. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And, look here, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But it all starts with the issue of faith. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. And Jesus says in verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There it is. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So how many people over the years have we laid hands on, and they did not recover? So what's our excuse? Well, you know, now here's what we say many times. I've heard this. Some healings are progressive. Now that is true. But with Jesus, the healings usually took place right then and there. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And seriously, forget about the second half of that verse. Because he says, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. You can't get around what this says. It's right there. So, what we've seen from the words of Jesus, he has said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. He's saying that if you believe, if your faith's where it should be, nothing will be impossible to you. He's saying, if your faith is where it's supposed to be, then you'll be able to speak and things are going to happen. He's saying you can lay hands on people and healing's going to take place. He's saying you can pray and receive the things that you're praying for. And he says, look, if your faith is where it's supposed to be, you'll be able to do my works, including dealing with situations like that man and his son. He says, this is how it is. Now, these are the words of Jesus, okay? One of the most difficult things is for us to sit back and just to flat out admit we're not where we ought to be when it comes to our faith. It's like we don't want to admit any area of weakness in our own lives. Well, listen, I'm here to tell you that I, Jim Martin, as of this message, am not where I need to be at my faith walk because I prayed and that little boy died anyway. So I publicly admit that I play a role in that boy not recovering. Does that make me feel good? No. But it took me years to be able to get to the place to where I had the guts to say something like that because I didn't want to admit any kind of spiritual weakness in me. I wanted to think that I'm everything I need to be, I'm everywhere I need to be, and that I'm walking at the level God wants me to walk at. But it didn't happen. And there are people right now in this room, people listening to this, we have prayed for folks that were battling illness and the healing never manifested. And on the inside, we've struggled with that. And what we try to do internally, symbolically, is sweep it under the rug. Because we don't want to deal with why it didn't happen when we prayed. And we want to kind of believe it's somebody else's fault. And in some cases, we even go so far as to literally blame God. But what we've seen here is, yeah, if your faith is where it's supposed to be, then you're going to be able to do all of these things that we've seen in Scripture. And Jesus is the one who has said this. Not some, you know, faith preacher out there on television who has twisted God's word to make faith sound like, you know, some sort of magic word at a, you know, at a spiritual ATM for you to get all kinds of blessings and all this other kind of stuff. Now, we're not even going to talk about all of the messages out there about faith that have twisted it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the words of Jesus himself. This is what he has said. If your faith is where it's supposed to be, you will be able to get these results. But a lot of people criticize this, and they come against it. You know, well, you just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, bunch, and so on and so forth. Well, I'll have news for you. If anybody is name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, Jesus was the ultimate example. Do you hear me? He looked at Peter and blabbed it. Go fishing. First fish you catch, open its mouth, there's your money. And Peter went and did it. Jesus spoke things and they happened. He talked to inanimate objects, such as trees. He spoke to sickness that nobody can see. He spoke to devils that nobody can see. He did things that people in the body of Christ today criticize other Christians for doing and preaching. What we've read here, this faith message that we have read in Scripture, what is it about this faith message that causes us or anybody to think it doesn't work? What is it about it? Why do we think these things aren't true? Why do we think that these things don't work? Why is it we want to dismiss them in spite of the fact that Jesus himself has set the example and given us the Word of God? Jesus has spoken this. So why is it that, you know, we don't want to believe it? Why don't we want to accept it? Well, one of the reasons is because a lot of preachers tell us it doesn't work. Can you imagine that? Now think with me. You've got preachers that stand up and tell us that these things don't work, and Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, says it works. So you got Jesus on the one side saying this works, and you got preachers on the other side saying it doesn't work. Now who do you think is going to be proven right when it's all said and done? And what do you think Jesus is going to have to say to these preachers who have stood up and publicly refuted the Son of God? We don't think of it that way, but that is exactly what's going on. So what is it about this faith message that causes us to not want to believe it? Or Christians, maybe none of you here, but what is it? You know, I'm praying here on this, and the Lord speaks, and you can write this down if you want. Here's what he said. Most Christians judge the message of faith by their results, not by my word. My word is true regardless of a person's results. Now let me say that again. God told me, that's just last night when I'm praying about this, most Christians judge the message of faith by their results, not by my word. My word is true regardless of a person's results. So therefore, if I say that this whole faith stuff is just it's a bunch of hooey, and I don't accept it and I don't believe it because I spoke it and it didn't happen, because I prayed and it didn't happen, because I laid hands on and it didn't take place, and then I sit back after doing these things and I say, well, it didn't happen, so therefore it must not be for today. It must only have been for Jesus and the apostles. But it doesn't work like that today. And God's up in heaven saying, excuse me, but my word is settled forever in heaven, and you can tell people it doesn't work, but you're standing in opposition to me. I've already said it works. Just because you didn't get the results doesn't mean it doesn't work. Doesn't mean that my word's not true. So, therefore, when we come to this conclusion that this stuff must not really work, or I don't know what's going on, I prayed and nothing happened, I don't understand it, we're just like those disciples who went to Jesus and said, why couldn't we get that kid delivered and healed? We're just like that. And the answer is always going to be the same. Because of your unbelief. No, God, you don't understand. You don't know. I go to Grace Christian Center. I have faith. He says, so you go to Grace Christian Center. The answer is still the same because of your unbelief. No, you don't understand. I've listened to all Pastor Martin's sermons. He says, well, okay, good. But the answer is still the same because of your unbelief. God, you're missing something here. And he says, no, son, you're missing something. Read my lips. Because of your unbelief. Oh, come on, God, that can't be it. He says, yeah, it is. My answer is always going to be the same. When you don't get faith results, it's because you don't have the faith to get the results. Listen, you need to understand that there are Christians all over the place who would hear this message, even to this point, and really get upset with me. Go on, Brother Martin, you know, you're talking about, you know, you don't need to take medicine and all that. I didn't say that. Don't you twist my words. Don't you do that. I didn't say that. I'm talking about what Jesus has said, and we're not going to be able to change that standard. As I was praying about all of this, the Holy Spirit began to speak, and He gave me 10 statements about faith that I'm going to share with you. Number one, He said, faith is bridging the gap between the spirit and the natural to obtain God's desired results. Faith is bridging the gap between the spirit and the natural to obtain God's desired results. See, God always gets His results in the realm of the spirit. You're not going to go to heaven and find anything up there that is not God's desired result. It's this natural world that's the challenge. And when we are walking in faith, the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about here, it bridges that gap to bring about the results that God desires. Number two, faith is operating by spiritual kingdom law rather than natural law. Faith is operating by spiritual kingdom law rather than natural law. Because in the realm of the kingdom, we see all kinds of things. For example, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. That's a kingdom law, all right? Faith is operating by that spiritual kingdom law. Natural law says it doesn't work. Natural law says that's foolishness. Natural law says that things of the kingdom are impossible. That's natural law. But spiritual kingdom law says all things are possible. Remember, the angel made that statement, with God all things are possible. Mary was asking, how can I, you know, I'm a virgin, how can I, you know, be pregnant with a baby? And that angel says, with God all things are possible. Natural law says it can't happen. Spiritual kingdom law says it can happen. Number three, faith is a way of life based on what God has said. Faith is a way of life based on what God has said. Because listen, you go to churches, you'll hear all kinds of things. Well, this must be God's will, or we don't understand the things of God, and so on and so forth. And you're going to live according to a religious mindset. You're going to live according to natural law. You're going to live according to all these kind of things, whatever it is. But faith is a way of life based on what God has said. So you live according to what God has said. And if God says, I can lay hands on the sick, then I can do that. I believe that. But see, faith is getting to that place. Number four, faith is giving God a doorway to your spirit so He can move through you. Faith is giving God a doorway to your spirit so He can move through you. See, many times we come up with these reasons. Well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. If God wants to move, He'll move. If God wants to. Okay, what is it that you've seen in God's Word that shows you He doesn't want to? It isn't that God doesn't want to, but God's looking for a way to do it. And He works through us. He operates through people. So faith is giving God a doorway to your spirit so He can move through you. Number five, faith will impact the natural but is not governed by the natural. Faith will impact the natural, but is not governed by the natural. You say, well, now hold on there, Brother Martin. These people that are sick and they don't get healed, that's natural. Yeah, it is. But faith will impact the natural, but is not governed by the natural. You know what governs faith? Your level of belief. Jesus said, or they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we get this thing done? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Your unbelief is governing the flow of faith. Deal with the unbelief and the faith can flow. Number six, the faith of a born-again spirit is supernatural. The faith of the soul is sense-bound. The faith of a born-again spirit is supernatural. The faith of the soul is sense-bound. See, there is natural faith. We understand that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's not what God is implying. That's not what God is showing us. When we begin to operate by faith out of our born-again spirit, it is supernatural because there's nothing in the natural that produces it. We're going to see this here in just a moment, another statement he gave me. And so therefore, when I operate out of faith, the kind of faith that the Bible is talking about, it's coming from my born-again spirit. It's not coming about what my mind is convinced of. It's coming out of my spirit. And herein lies a major problem. We can train our minds to think in line with the Word of God. Yes, speak and it'll happen. Pray and believe and receive and so on and so forth. In our minds, we can come into agreement with what the Word of God has said. But the faith resides in our born-again spirit, and it operates out of our spirit. Therefore, if we haven't dealt with it on a spiritual level, it doesn't matter how much we think about it, or what we think about it, or how much we agree that, yes, this is the Word of God and it's true. The faith is spirit-based. Number 7, it is impossible for spiritual faith to originate from natural events and experience. It is impossible for spiritual faith to originate from natural events and experience. And many Christians, you'll hear this so many times, they talk about how that they went through a tragedy or went through a hardship or whatever, and they say, well, my faith grew in this thing. Well, it may have, but it didn't grow because of the bad thing. Because if faith grew and originated from natural events and experience, man, you'd have people out there right now walking on water. Because you've got some Christians that have, I mean, they've gone through horrible things here on earth. And yet many of them are still declaring it was the will of God. They're still declaring, well, God just saw fit to bring those things into my life to teach me a lesson. Well, if that's true, we all ought to be praying for excessive hardship, sickness and disease. You know, come on, God, pour it out. I got to learn how to trust you. And yet you don't see that in the Word of God. It is impossible for spiritual faith to originate from natural events and experience. Because, again, the kind of faith we're talking about is birthed in the Spirit, develops in the Spirit, is released through the Spirit. So, therefore, the natural stuff can't do it. You're not going to get faith results. Faith isn't going to grow from natural experience. Number 8, demanding natural proof to substantiate spiritual faith is the mark of a foolish person. Actually, what he said was, it's the mark of a fool. But I asked him if I could soften it a little bit. Demanding natural proof to substantiate spiritual faith is the mark of a fool. You say, what do you mean by that? These people that say, I believe it when I see it. I believe that, you know, this whole thing of healing. When I see the person healed, then I believe they're healed. Well, demanding natural proof to substantiate spiritual faith is the mark of a fool. You say, well, how do you figure that? I mean, it's pretty strong language. Well, you can talk to God about it. He's the one that gave it to me. In other words, what he's saying is, we talk about we believe the Bible, we believe God, we believe the Word of God is, or we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and all these, I've got faith in God, and I'm trusting God's everything, and He's my life, and on and on it goes. But then to turn around and refute what he says by saying, I will believe it when I see it, means you're trusting the things of the natural and exalting them above the very Word of God. So demanding natural proof to substantiate spiritual faith is the mark of a fool. Number 9, faith is believing that God's Word is God's life. Faith is believing that God's Word is God's life. Ah, Brother Martin, prove that in Scripture. John 6:63. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. It's right in there. God's Word is a written form of His life. And what that means is this. When we're operating by faith, the faith we're talking about here, do you realize we're operating by the life of God? Do you realize that when we're operating by God's Word and this faith, and we're operating by this life, that what we are actually doing is administering the life of God into a dead situation? Now think. This world's full of corruption. God's full of life. When we begin to confess the Word of God, we're confessing the life of God because it's His Word. When we begin to apply the Word of God, in other words, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, we're actually ministering the life of God. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. If my faith is where it's supposed to be, then what I'm doing is I'm operating by the life of God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, I know he's talking primarily there of spiritual life, but he went about healing people. And so the death that the sickness was trying to impose upon the physical bodies of those people, when he ministered the life of healing. And those people were healed. And they were delivered. And they were set free. Because he was operating at a level that has been set as a standard for us, as a goal, if you want. Number 10, the refusal to acknowledge a personal lack of faith does in no way change the truth that there is a lack of faith. The refusal to acknowledge a personal lack of faith does in no way change the truth that there is a lack of faith. In other words, I can bury my head in the sand, but everything that's outside the sand is still there. How many of you, like when you were kids and you thought, you know, there was a monster under your bed, and for some reason in your mind you reasoned, if I pull the covers over my head, the monster won't be there? Well, listen, if the monster's there, it's there whether you have the covers over your head or down around your ankles. Now, for you kids listening to this, there are no monsters under your bed, okay? I'm not prophesying anything into your homes. You understand what I mean? So like these disciples, they were not willing to be like the dad of that son and say, help me with my unbelief. They didn't believe they had any unbelief. And buddy, Jesus, man, he laid it right on them. Why couldn't you do it? Because of your unbelief. And just because they weren't willing to acknowledge that they had a lack of faith didn't mean there wasn't a lack of faith. Because Jesus said, if you had faith, the kind of faith necessary to deal with this, then you'd have dealt with it. And if you have the kind of faith that you need, listen, if you have the kind of faith that you need, nothing relative to the will of God will be impossible to you. Nothing. So we can't throw these things off on God. It comes back on us. Too many Christians just don't want to receive it. And there are people out there who would hear this, would accuse me of you know, wow, that's just one of those hyper-faith messages. Man, you better get your head screwed on straight. Because right now, you're kind of cross-threaded. According to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, he says all of these things are possible. He says if you have the kind of faith that you need, nothing will be impossible. You'll be able to accomplish everything that God says. You'll be able to do my works. Now look in Matthew chapter 4. I'm just going to give you three verses relative to faith, the development of it. Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how you're supposed to live. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Therefore, if I cannot find anything in Scripture that says sickness, disease, hardship, lack, poverty, destruction causes faith to be developed in you, then you know what? It means that it doesn't cause faith to be developed in me. In other words, I'm believing a word that has come out of somebody else's mouth instead of the very mouth of God himself. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a heads up. Man shall not live by the things of the natural. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. Doesn't matter what they are. Every word. So see, when we start refuting this, and we say things like the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today, healing's not for today, this died out with the apostles, this is no longer going on and so forth. This faith stuff, it was for then, but it's not for now. And nobody can do the works of Jesus. Only Jesus can do those kind of works. In spite of the things that we have read even today, do you realize every person, every preacher, every Christian who speaks those things, they have literally taken a position on a hillside against God who's on the other side. They have taken up weapons against God. You say, well, what weapons have they taken up against God? Words. Their words. And they are literally challenging God to battle. Because when they stand up and they say, these things are not for today. These things do not happen. This faith stuff is not right. And on it goes. And God's on the other side saying, excuse me, I've said this and it's not going to change. It's going to last forever. They're literally engaging God in warfare. Now, I know that that's an imagery that may be kind of hard to grasp, but do you understand the concept? They are taking a position against God when they say this. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And look here at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it can't come by disasters or anything else. God Himself is saying faith comes by hearing, and hearing my word. The kind of faith that Jesus was speaking about, and the kind of faith that you need to make it through this life, the kind of faith that you need to accomplish everything, the only way that you are going to have that kind of faith come to you is by my word. That's it. There is no other way. So therefore, if God has said this, it has to be true. Jesus said, live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. One of the words, if you will, that's come from the mouth of God is that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So this is a word of God. I'm supposed to live by it. That means I can't say that my faith is growing or that faith is coming or I'm increasing in my faith if there's no word of God input. I can't say it. I'm trusting God more and more every day. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, it means I'm walking by faith. What kind of faith? The faith God demands. Is faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word? In other words, are you into the Word? Well, I go to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. So yeah, you know, a little bit of faith is coming on Sunday. As long as you go to a church that's delivering the Word. Otherwise, if you go to a church that's taking the Word of God and twisting it, no faith is coming. I mean, you're spinning your wheels, wasting your time, and blowing your life away, man. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is it. Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. I guess that's all God thought would be necessary. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Is faith coming? Yes, I'm hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Are you building yourself up on it? Oh, yes. I believe it's true. Are you building yourself up on it? Oh, yes. I trust God. Are you building yourself up on it? How many times do I have to answer this question until I hear the right answer? God has said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There it is. Brother Martin, I just don't understand. It's been 12 years. Nothing's changing in my life. I'm trusting God, but nothing's changing in my life. I don't understand. Well, what do you think Jesus would say? I don't know. The very fact that you don't know tells me you're not in the Word of God, because if you've been in the Word of God and been receiving the Word of God, then you would know that Jesus would look at you and say, because of your unbelief. So you just told me volumes with I don't know. God has said, He's given to us His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that I've given unto you, every word I speak. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this word that I've given to you. And you build yourself up on that faith that has come by praying in tongues. And God says, okay, I've given you, now listen to this. I have given you three verses that answer everything. What are you going to do with it?
Well, God, I just need to listen to another teaching series.
If it's my word, it will help. But you're to live by every word that I've spoken. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by my word. You build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues. Oh, and let's not forget the fasting part Jesus mentioned. But I've got a teaching series on fasting out there conveniently. You can listen to that. It'll help you understand the fasting aspect of it. So, to what benefit was it of God's for that newborn to die? What did God gain by that newborn dying? Well, Brother Martin, I heard that there were some family members who gave their hearts to Jesus. So then God sacrificed that child for the sake of those family members? What if there had been a miracle healing in that child? Or better yet, what if that child had been raised from the dead? I mean, you following my logic here? God didn't gain anything by the death of that baby. Nothing. And what we have to do is sit back and say, look, I don't want to admit this, but the bottom line is, I didn't get the results that God's Word says I can get in this situation and that thing and this over here. And because I did not get the results God's Word describes, then I do not have the kind of faith I think I have. And the only way for me to change this is to live more by every word of God. Find out what words of God I'm not living by. And have more word come into me, because faith will come as I do that. And then I need to spend more time praying in tongues, because I will build myself up on my most holy faith when I do this. That's my solution. That's what I need to do. But this is the thing that people don't want to hear. What parent wants to hear that your child died because of your lack of faith? Now think with me. In the Bible, the story we read, that man brought his son to the people he thought could help. Right? Now listen. Which means that man had come to the point of realizing, I cannot do this on my own. So I will take my son to those who apparently can help and fill in the gaps that are in my own life. They couldn't do it. Well, then here comes Jesus. The man says, Jesus, here's my son, here's the problem. I couldn't do anything to help him. I thought your disciples could help out, but they haven't been able to help out yet. Can you do anything? If there's anything you can do, please do it. And Jesus said, okay. And bam! The devil's gone and the kid's healed. For us today, if the parents aren't at a place where they need to be faith-wise, what if they don't even believe in Jesus? See what I mean? It's our responsibility, those of us who lay claim to being the children of God, it's our responsibility to do what Jesus has said, what God has said in His Word. Live by every word. Faith comes by hearing by the Word, and pray in the Spirit to be built up on our most holy faith, so that we can get to the place to when those parents bring their children to us, we pray and we get the results that God has said we can get in His Word. Remember, Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, if your faith is where it needs to be, if your faith is where it could be, nothing shall be impossible to you. In this particular situation I'm talking about, where this baby has died, no one who prayed for that child was in a position with the kind of faith necessary to bring about the healing for that baby. None of us. And that means every one of us who prayed for that child need to have a fess-up time on our own and just flat-out admit, I'm not where I needed to be. And if I'm not where I needed to be 3 days ago, 4, 5, 6 days ago, I'm not where I need to be even yet today. I need to do more of what God has said. I think really, in a manner of speaking, some of this has to do with the fact that a lot of us who say we believe it, somewhere on the inside, there's a little seed of unbelief which doubts that we can do the works of Jesus. Because if we really honestly believed that applying everything we've seen today in the Word of God would get us to the place of people being healed, like when Jesus ministered, of the dead being raised, of the devils being cast out, I mean, if we honestly really believe that, and I'm in the same thing, I have to sit back and look at me and think, there must be something in me that really must not believe this as much as I say I believe this, or maybe I'd be a little bit more diligent about these things I need to do. See, this applies to the body of Christ, all of us. You say, Brother Martin, this hasn't been one of those laughing, funny kind of sermons. No, it's not. Because you see, God expects us to be honest with ourselves. And when we see this standard in the Word of God, and we're not getting the results, the answer from God is always going to be the same. Because of your unbelief. But He doesn't just leave it there. He says, look, you got the unbelief, but now, here's what you do to correct the situation. And if you do this, what I've said, live by my word that I've given you, you know what? Your faith is going to develop to the point to where these things are going to happen. And you're going to get the God results that God has promised in His Word. So yeah, I've got the unbelief. Yes, Lord, You pointed that out. But thank You for telling me how to deal with it. Thank You for telling me how to fix it. So now it's up to me to take these tools, apply it to my life, and know I will get the results. I'm very sorry that that baby died. I'm very sorry. But praise God, I can apply the standards of God's Word that we've seen today, and hopefully the next time, if there is a next time, the baby won't die.
People hear a message like this, and it's like, boy, I tell you what, I'm motivated now, Brother Martin. I'm going to do these things. Well, just remember, Jesus said Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. And one of the things that I can tell you is this. For some people, Satan is going to try to lie to you and tell you it really won't work. Or it really won't work for you. For the other people, but not for you, because you have messed up too much in your past. You've made too many stupid choices and mistakes in your past. And you're at the place now to where, yeah, you're going to heaven, but you've gone too far and none of this other stuff's really going to work for you at this point. Well, you know, if you want to believe that, go right ahead and believe it, but you're making a very foolish mistake. Because there are no exceptions identified in Scripture. Everybody is included. So yeah, maybe you've made a lot of bad choices in your past. Maybe you made a lot of mistakes. I mean, for crying out loud, I have. But the Word still works. I mean, the Bible talks about God not being a respecter of persons. That means this works no matter who you are, no matter what your past, no matter what bad choices and mistakes you've made before. This works. It's just a matter of applying it. Hallelujah. Father, I'm going to pray over me and everybody else that hears this message. Those here, those watching, and those in the future. Father, help us to humble ourselves before you and just admit that we just don't have the kind of faith that maybe we think we have, and that we need to do these things. And help us, Father, to see this from the reality of what you have said, in that this will work for us. And we can go beyond whatever level of unbelief we're at now, and we can continue to grow in this area of faith. And that, Father, we'll get the results that you've promised in your word. I pray encouragement, Father, for all of us who've heard this message today. And Father, it is my belief that we are going to be sensitive to the lies of the devil that would tell us that we can't do it, it won't work, and so forth. That we'll realize that isn't you speaking, that it's a lie of Satan. And so, Father, I believe that from this day forward, there's going to be a change in our lives. My life, everybody else's, because of what we've seen in your word. And Father, it's clear that this message that Jesus has given us, these things we've seen in Scripture, this is not some wild-eyed, hyper-faith sermon. This is practical living in the kingdom of God.